You're listening to the Newsmakers podcast from MLB.com.
Mr. Rocket, Bill Adson. Welcome to Newsmakers. I spoke to Jeff Kent and Dave Parker recently. They had great careers in the big leagues, but are not close to becoming Hall of Famers. We start with Kent, who believes not getting along with the media is one of the reasons he's not close to being voted into Cooperstown.
Somebody help me out here. I just don't understand why Jeff Kent's not in the Hall of Fame. Listen to this. He's one of two second basemen to have six consecutive seasons of 100 or more RBIs. His .290 batting average is higher than Ryne Sandberg and Joe Morgan. They're both Hall of Famers. And on the phone is Jeff Kent. Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Jeff, my first question to you, help me understand this because I don't get it. How come you're not in the Hall of Fame? I mentioned the numbers, and why?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't given it much thought. I've got my uneducated two cents, but I'm so busy running cows and building sports complexes out here in Texas, I really haven't given it much thought. I think that the most obvious reasons are, the steroid era has cluttered the Hall of Fame ballot with so many players that had great seasons. And so much speculation of whether they're cheaters or not, I don't know. I think that may be, probably part of the bigger problem. But, I've got some other opinions, too. But there's no sense of hashing it out because my opinion is not going to matter one way or the other.
But there were great years. You were always clean. And what do you want people to know about your 17-year career? I mean, it was a great career.
Yeah. I was just a normal, everyday player, standard player like everybody else in Southern California. And, I played Little League and I set goals to go play college baseball, and I went did that at Cal Berkeley. And then I set goals to, give myself 3 years to go play Major League Baseball play professional baseball to try to get to the major leagues. And I was able to accomplish that. And I had good coaches around me, except for a few that were out there. But I ended up playing on some really horrible teams, and I played on some great teams. And I played the game, I believe, in my way. I played it my way. Nobody dictated my game, and I played it, I believe, the right way, more of an old-school way. And I wish I would have played in a different era than the era I played in, but I stayed relatively healthy. I had a few injuries here or there, and that comes with playing in the middle of the infield. But, for those people that are out there, what I want them to know about is, I wasn't anybody special where I came from. But, hard work can pan out, and, it did for me, and I hope that inspires people.
You really picked it up when you went to San Francisco. What made playing in San Francisco so special? Your best year was 2000.
Yeah. So many people want to look at, the front half of my career versus the back half of my career. And so much weight is put on one or two or three individuals on how good that team is. And that is so unfair. I went from the Toronto Blue Jays in 1992 as a rookie. Played on the Blue Jays 1 year, was traded after my fifth month there, right before the trade deadline for David Cone, going to the New York Mets, which were already cloned, the worst team money could buy. So I was already in a bad atmosphere, in a bad field. Shea Stadium was a horrible field. Mm-hmm. On the dirt. Played a few years there. I went through two general managers and three managers there in New York. There was no consistency. So my abilities, my career, it just didn't meet the opportunity. And then I went to Cleveland. They traded me to Cleveland for 2 months because I could hit left-handed pitching. And then from there, they traded me right away from Matt Williams to San Francisco. And that's where you had a consistent general manager. You had Dusty Baker, which was the manager there for 6 years. You had a team that was building and revamping itself. You had a couple good standout players in Dusty Baker, Barry Bonds was the biggest one, mm-hmm. and a collection of players around him, and that was a great program to begin with. So, that's why, I think that's why my career finally took off, is I was finally with a steady, solid organization that had a commitment to winning, and they were on the right path, and I was part of it.
Now, Jeff, I remember when you were with the Mets, you had a bad reputation in terms of your relationship with the media, and that reputation stayed with you even towards the end of your career. I'm just wondering how much you think that has hurt you in terms of your Hall of Fame chances.
Oh, probably a lot. Look what's going on right now with Trump and the media. You know, there's so much fake news and innuendos and people trying to stick it. The media trying to stick it to you, and so many stories they wrote were so false, and that irritated me. I was a guy that came from Berkeley. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a good education. I was a smart guy, and I stood up for myself, and I wasn't afraid to say, you know what, no. You know, that's a stupid question. I'm not answering you. And that may be the perception out there. But if you go back and you talk to a few of the good reporters that have been around the game for a while, they always came to me for the real story, not the, oh, I gave 110% today and, you know, win one for the Gipper stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were real stories and they were the truth. I never lied to the media out there. You know, everybody wants to make a big deal about the car trucking incident, but that was none of the media's business. And they didn't like that. When I told the media, you know what, it's none of your business. They hated that. So they, you know, it was a love-hate relationship. So they hated me for it, and, you know, and I got burned. Let me tell you this, though. Mm-hmm. There was a reporter in New York. This is a true story. Called me and wanted me to be a snitch for the locker room.
No
and
kidding.
I told him no. And his comment was, well, I can make or break your career. That's the power the media had. And because they didn't like me not playing their game, I got blackballed. And you know, one of the bigger stories that was out there was me, you know, the rookie prank. Everybody thought that I didn't go along with the rookie prank. Everybody put it out there that I didn't go along with the rookie prank. Mm-hmm. I did the rookie prank in Toronto with the Blue Jays when I was a rookie there. And the Mets tried to, at the end of the year, they had their head up their rear end, and they tried to do it again to all the younger players. And they wanted me to play the game, too. And I wasn't going to play that game because I did that. And the media made a big deal about how I, didn't go along with the team. However, they never wrote the real story, which was I stood up for myself.
Jeff, after you left San Francisco, your career did not die. You went to Houston, you were productive there, and you went to the Dodgers, and you were productive there. And talk about your time in Houston and Los Angeles.
Yeah, Houston was just an extension of San Francisco, where the program, the organization was great. They had a good manager over there. Jimmy Williams was my manager over there, and he was awesome. They had the Biggio, Bagwell, Berkman guys, and Clemens and Pettit. That was just a fantastic team. And I enjoyed it. It was kind of a coming home for me because I lived in Austin, so I was really comfortable playing in Houston. Fans were awesome. Loved my time there. Great teams. We went to the playoffs, you know, short of the playoffs one year. I went to the playoffs. We were one game away from going to the World Series. One of my years there, too. And mm-hmm. that was a great time. And then from there, you know, going back home, you know, to end my career, going back home to Southern California so I could play in front of my parents in L.A., you know, that was kind of a dream come true, too. So, my career had a good ending to my full circle.
It sure did. You know, Jeff, I mentioned this earlier, your numbers compare to the Ryan Sandbergs and the Joe Morgans. Besides me, has anyone ever called you and said, hey, you belong in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, all the reporters that have watched me play, all the reporters that, know who I am and what I stand for and the reality of what's true and not true, they say the same thing. And it's hard for me to defend myself. You know, I didn't play in an era where they came up with these, you know, new stats, these war stats,
right,
which some of them are arbitrary numbers. They just come up with them. And it's frustrating there. And then they, you know, want to blackball me because of my defense. And I think that's completely unfair, too, because it's hard to quantify defense. And so many people want to do that. So many good players out there. And it happens in the game now, too. Position themselves differently than everybody else. So if I got a batter up there and a pitcher's throwing a breaking ball and I know he's throwing it before he even throws it, I may move over a couple steps or two and be in a better position to catch balls than another guy. And, you know, that's hard to quantify. And I was one of the best double play combos in the game for half a dozen years or more. Nobody could turn a double play better than me, but nobody wants to ever say any of that either. They just think I was some big white guy playing up the middle and he was slow. And that's not fair. And they kind of gave that tag to Ryne Sandberg a little bit too, but Sandberg played in Wrigley Field where the grass was about 6 inches tall, so the ball never moved very fast, so he could get to a lot of balls. And they want to quantify and measure the differences between the two, but you can't. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad they argue it, glad they debate it. But, there are plenty of people, you know, the votes have been there for me, with those folks that know who I am and know the quality of play that I put out there.
What is Jeff Kent doing today?
Oh, I'm forgetting about the Hall of Fame, I guess. I'm out. I built a new 150,000-square-foot indoor sports complex. It's called Hill Country Indoor. We just finished it. It's for kids. It's got 4 basketball courts, a turf soccer field, sports training center, fitness, and a family entertainment area. And it is a beautiful sight to see all these kids running around and playing on these playing flag football and basketball and volleyball, soccer. We've done a great thing out here in Austin, Texas. And that really interests me doing that now.
You must be really happy you're doing it.
I am. I kind of get away from baseball other than talking to, good guys like you that keep promoting the game. I'm trying to go back to where I started and give kids the same chances that I had and maybe provide them a little opportunity, more of an opportunity, if you will, to use their sports to grow as a person and to possibly grow as an athlete.
Do you want to go back in the game?
I show up to spring training with the Giants every now and then. I work with some of the younger kids and some of the older guys, and that's been a blast. I've had interest in maybe going back and on a business capacity at times, but man, I'm so busy right now that it's hard for me to get away from my family and do that consistently. But I sure do love the game.
Jeff Kent, it's a joke you're not in the Hall of Fame, and I just want to say thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. Thanks for calling.
You got it. Take care.
My final guest is Dave Parker. And he's not bitter that the Modern Era Committee did not vote him into the Hall of Fame.
He was known as the Cobra. He was one of the best players in his era. He was the MVP in 1978 with the Pirates. He also had great times with the Brewers, Reds, Oakland A's, and Anaheim Angels. His name is Dave Parker. Dave, thank you for being on the show.
No problem.
Dave, the Modern Baseball Era Committee had a chance to put you on the Hall of Fame this past weekend, and you fell short. And how disappointed were you that you didn't make it?
Well, I knew going in it was a chance that I wouldn't make it. But it's not because of my numbers. My numbers are here. I got 2 batting titles, MVP, 2 DHs of the year back-to-back. I got golden gloves. My numbers are here.
I mean, did you think you had a chance? Because you had people like Robin Yao, George Brett, voting in this thing. So I would have thought that you might have had a chance.
Well, that's why the people that was trying to get me in the hall, that's what they thought too. That the guys that are in that I've played against and have similar numbers to. We're there, and I would have a good chance of possibly getting in this year.
What do you want people to know about your career? I mean, it's been a fabulous career. Talk about what you want people to know.
Well, that's really anything you need to know about Dave Parker. You can just go to baseball archives and read about it. I was a good player, played hard every time I was on the field. Won just about every personal award you can win. And like I say, the numbers are there, and it's just up to somebody to pull the trigger.
Right. You were a great outfielder. Your best moment was the 1979 All-Star game when you threw out two players. Talk about how proud you were of your defense.
Well, a lot of people very seldom talk about my defense. It's always hitting. So anytime that people have an opportunity to see me throw or make a play in the outfield, they were kind of surprised. But I was always proud of my defense.
Now, you came after Roberto Clemente passed away. And I'd like to know, I'm sure you knew Roberto Clemente before he passed away, how much of an influence he was on you.
Well, he was a big influence on me. He actually taught me how to get more velocity on my throws on the outfield. I signed as a catcher, and catchers short on the ball from behind the plate. And Roberto saw me throw when they transferred me to the outfield. He saw me throwing, and he said, I can get more by reaching back. And that's when I learned how to reach back and put more velocity and distance on my throws.
Mm-hmm. You also, the one thing that sticks out with me, the year you won the MVP, you played with a hockey mask. I remember you broke your jaw and your cheekbone, but instead of going on the disabled list, you decided to put on a hockey mask. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I broke my jaw in a collision at home plate, and they were looking for something to protect my face. And the hockey mask was the second thing that we tried. We tried the face mask that Bradshaw had sent over and put it on the helmet. And, that didn't work immediately. And then we tried the hockey mask. And the hockey mask lasted for about 2 weeks. And then I went back to the face mask after I got on base that Bradshaw had sent over.
Right. You know, your last 3 years in Pittsburgh were not as productive as you would like. I'm just wondering, how much did that hurt you, you think, in your Hall of Fame chances?
This is the Hall of Fame. It's supposed to be about numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, and I provided the numbers. And the last couple of years I was in Pittsburgh, I ruptured two thumbs and had knee surgery, and I had a lot of injuries. But I think before I left Pittsburgh, it was indications that I was getting healthy. And they chose not to pull the trigger. It was for signing me. And I went to Cincinnati and showed the world that, that Dave Parker was still around, still existed. And I had 4 years in Cincinnati that was just outstanding. Right. And I think they showed everybody that, you know, it was my health and not anything else.
How badly do you want to go in the Hall of Fame? How much do you want your grandchildren to see you go in the Hall of Fame?
Well, that's what it's all about. The people that are trying to get me in are two close friends. And it's all about my family and the legacy that I leave for my kids and my wife as she outlives me. So it's just a matter of getting in for my kids and my wife and, you know, just to let the world know just how good a player I was.
You are currently dealing with Parkinson's. How are you feeling right now?
I feel good. It's treatable. But it's we don't have a cure, but it is treatable. And I found the medicine that works pretty good for me, and it's been pretty good of late.
I saw you back in late March, and you were strong. And what keeps you going despite having Parkinson's?
Well, my family, my grandkids, my kids, that's what it's all about. I pick family over baseball anytime.
That's true. I remember when I saw you, you had a lot of trophies belonging to your grandchildren. There were none belonging to you. And how proud are you that you're with your grandchildren?
Well, it's an extension of me, and I just want to stick around and see them become adults. I definitely don't want to be here and leave here before my grandchildren. So, it's just staying healthy enough to see them be adults and see what they become.
Dave Parker, listen, thank you so much for being on the show. It was greatly appreciated.
No problem at all.
You take care of yourself.
You too.